if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System Podcast 159. This is our 2021 Masters Tournament Tips and Selections preview. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanrahan join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss the first major championship of 2021. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting previews, masses of tournament statistics, and our predictor model. All available completely free of charge with no paywall. Please subscribe to this podcast and drive the popularity of the show. We are available on social media. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. Plus, look out for the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. Now, you guys as listeners, power this podcast. So we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts as ever. For those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. I always ask, leave your name and where you are in the review. And of course, I'll read that out as well. Secondly, if you are in the growing band of YouTube listeners, please subscribe and like the show. Right. One here. Barry is one of ours. 5 stars is the title. Great podcast, lads. Really in-depth analysis that gets you thinking yourself, giving great hints and tips that gives me a clear picture on who to focus on. Barry making the Irish tipsters proud. Keep up the good work. And that is from Bill from the Republic of Ireland.
Nice one, Bill.
Is that your father or?
No comment.
You've had a few of these recently, Barry, haven't you? You've been G'ing people up locally.
Yeah, just small bribes, you know, just taking all my massive winnings from golf betting and just spreading it around to, like, just juice the system.
That's good. I like it.
Next one. My favourite band, Daft Punt, is the title. 5 stars. Even if I didn't bet on golf or play golf DFS, I reckon I'd listen to these guys banter about bent grass and ball striking. It's my favourite thing about Tuesday morning. Thanks, y'all. Keep doing what you're doing. And that is from Abject Scrabble Junkie. And he is, you won't be surprised to hear, in the United States.
Very good.
Daft Punt. And last one. That's a good one, isn't it? Last one. Amazing, amazing podcast. 5 stars. An amazing podcast with 3 of the most knowledgeable Irish lads around.
Look, I'm converting you guys to Irish. That's pretty powerful stuff.
I've never even been to Ireland.
You don't want to hear our attempt at an Irish accent either, Barry. It'd be not good.
I think that's a joke, actually. Helps Tuesday much easier in work. Can't wait for it. Come out every week. Wait for it to come out every week. Please keep doing the transatlantic double. Also, how long do I have to keep on the Kevin Kisner train before I jump off, Barry? And that's from GKeo23, and he is in the Republic of Ireland. How long does he need to be? Well, we've actually got, in terms of Kevin Kisner, we've got Harbortown next week, the RBC Heritage, and that is Kisnerville, isn't it?
Could be time to buy a first-class ticket, but yeah, the Kisner train, I just become a little bit more fluid recently. He looked so good in the match play.
He did.
You know? He did. There's something going on for him. It's, you know, I mean, and the difference between it working on a given week and it not working is one putt around, you know, or it's just so close, you know, those little triggers to make that leap to the upper echelons of the leaderboard. So, I certainly not without merit for consideration next week.
He looked very good against JT.
His putting
and his approach play was brilliant.
Come here.
There's something about that track that really gets him, doesn't it? Something that really gets his juices flowing.
It's short Pete Dye and Bermuda grass, which is exactly what we've got next week at Harbour Town.
Puts a little bit of shape on the ball, gets it running on the ground. I mean, look, where's he at in terms of his, just to throw a question out there, in terms of first round leader potential for Augusta? What are we looking at for his
deep
first round scoring average?
It's going to be deep in terms of a price. I think
is nice. So, I mean, look, it's an outside shot, but I just don't think he's long enough to win at Augusta, but he certainly has more than enough skills in the bag to come up with a first round leader if things collide nicely.
I'm still scrolling.
Uh-oh. I'll pull up the odds then for a first round leader and you can give me...
I've got to Sandy Lyle. I think I've missed him. Kevin Kisner, 100-1 with Boyle Sports, 7 places each way, 50 odds on the first round leader market.
That might be my little Kisner bet this week, but I think holding for Harbour Town might be a little smarter investment of the money overall.
So our answer to Mr. G. Keogh will be keep your powder dry for the RBC Heritage next week, yeah?
Yeah. Sometimes you need to get off the train and wait for the next one to come along because that's got like the money bags cart in it, you know? You could be on the wrong one, so yeah, it's hard to kind of stick with players for so long. Like I was backing Matt Wallace for a couple of weeks, and I just thought, well, look, okay, whatever I thought was going on, obviously hasn't really worked, and then he just pops up last week with a third. So you know, timing's everything, right?
Small, isn't it?
You released him, Barry.
He beat Sergio in the World Match Play, and then all of a sudden he's feeling confident. Strange old game, isn't it?
And in terms of the each way or transatlantic doubles, we've got the Austrian Open next week as well. So there's scope to get some doubles going across the Atlantic next year, next week rather.
Before we delve into the most exciting major of the year, Paul, can you just quickly take our listeners through our 2021 majors competition sponsored by Bet365, please?
Yeah, it's one that we've run for a few years, and I think we're 9th, 10th year, something like that. So, yes, Bet365 have kindly put up £250 in prize money. So we have three prizes, £150 to the winner, £75 to the second place finisher, and £25 to the third place. Of course, we'll transfer that in a different currency if needs be, if one of you guys from outside of the UK wins. Now, the idea with this is that we need you to name, in one-and-done format, four different players, one for each of the four majors. So one for the Masters, one for the USPGA, one for the US Open, and, of course, one for the Open Championship. And then what we'll do with those four names, based on the prize money that's won by your player in each of those majors, we will create a mini leaderboard, and the person or the people at the top of the leaderboard at the end of the Open Championship who've accrued the most dollars from their four players will be determined the winner. So effectively, give us four names, four different names, starting with the Masters, and we'll do the rest at the back end and see how your players get on. Now, you can enter via Twitter, you can enter via email, you can enter via a thread on our Facebook group too. So get your entries in. It all closes when the first tee shot is struck on Thursday. So you've got a couple of days to get your entries in. But yeah, dead simple. Four different names, one for each of the four majors, and see how they fare when they come along to play over the next few months.
Do we enter that as a control?
Yeah. Well, I'll have a go just as a bit of fun. See how far down the leaderboard I can end up this week. This year.
Yeah, like we could help prop everybody up,
absolutely,
you know, to boost their chances of being closer to the top of the leaderboard.
Didn't the winner last year? Didn't he get two of the three majors?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so he got
and like something like third in the other.
Yeah, the other one was Xander, who I forget exactly where he finished, but he was quite prominent. So yeah, that was a really good performance last year. Typically, when there's a four major season, a couple of major winners from your four picks, and you know, maybe a place or a top 10 from one of the other two. That's generally the kind of performance you need to be really contending to win the majors competition. Of course, if you go and do something better than that, three or four, even four of the winners, then I think you'll be pretty much nailed on. Easier said than done, though, because you're making these four picks, of course, before the Masters has even started. So the fields aren't even firmed up for the other three majors. So there's an element of guesswork, but there's also an element of trying to calculate who you think is going to be the best bet. So, always a bit of fun and, some cash prizes up for grabs as well.
Connecting the truck. Connecting the transatlantic double as a concept into this time of year is when you can do the four majors accumulator.
Absolutely. So,
a little cheeky each way accumulator. I mean, the chances are slim, but you know, we've all seen those tickets on Facebook and Twitter when somebody's got a big accumulator going into the final major of the year, or a big payout for quite a small investment usually. So
nice to have a bit of a sweat on when you get to the Open Championships. So
unless it all tanks in the Masters, but you hope not. It's the one we feel is probably the easiest to kind of get the winner or close to winner, because the field is so small and for reasons coming on this pod.
For reference, the Masters this week, we then go to Kiawah Island for the PGA Championship. I'm really looking forward to that. That golf course is an absolute beast. I wrote the research preview a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, Paul? And it was like 7,900 yards, literally with the water lapping up against some of the holes. If that's windy, that is just going to be an absolute brute. They then go to, it doesn't get any easier, they then go to Torrey Pines for the US Open, which is, 7,700 yards and about, they'll have like 15-yard wide fairways. So I wouldn't want to be Graham McDowell on that particular tournament, or Kevin Kisner. And then, of course, if the Open happens, which it should do, we'll be travelling down to Sandwich in Kent to go to that one, which we've been to before, haven't we, Paul? And that is, again, a genuinely seaside links test. You know, that's proper, isn't it? That's not just that's a genuine links with sand in play, pot bunkers, and the whole course just runs through steep sand dunes.
It has a proper links test, and of course, much will depend on the conditions at the time and leading up to it, whether it's firm and fast or wet and windy, or the Open Championships can throw absolutely anything at you. So one to look forward to, and as you say, hopefully we can get along to watch some of that in person this year.
Three of the four majors on the seaside this year. I can't remember that. Right. I suppose we need to talk about last week. We need to talk about Jordan Spieth. Now, I'm seeing a lot of tickets out there on our Facebook group and on Twitter. And a guy messaged me on Monday, put up the YouTube video where I put up Jordan Spieth. I actually broke the curse. I actually got a winner, boys. Yeah. And not only a winner, I got a 1-2, so 144 man field. I predict, I have Hoffman in second, and I get Jordan winning his first title for 4 years. Came on Monday and said to me, Steve, I've requested a bet on William Hill, 175-1, Jordan Spieth to win the next two tournaments in a row. And I said to him, very best of luck. I love the strategy because it made logical sense. So he's now, there's a lot of people now sitting on 175-1 ticket for Jordan Spieth to win the Masters this week. That's pretty sweet.
That's exciting. It is,
When you manage to get the first part of first leg of that effective double in, it's cracking stuff. And no, well done, Steve. That was to get a 1-2, to get the forecast in effectively was a cracking effort last week. So some nice timely ammunition for the Masters this week.
You watch that. You look at that TPC San Antonio Oaks course, And I tell you, it's a very, very good warm-up for the Masters. A lot of long holes, a lot of tough driving holes. Quite a few elevated tees. Bermuda grass greens, but... And lots of wind. Well, it wasn't crazy wind. It was that nagging Texan 10 to 15 miles an hour all the time.
Yeah.
We need some
Texan fare.
Yeah. You can see as well that kind of background could... I haven't seen a weather forecast change in 12 hours like we've seen for the Masters this year. It's been we'll go into some detail in a short while, but it could be an absolute classic this week. The threat of rain Thursday night into Friday looks like it's receding slightly. And we saw the golf course for the women's amateur and how... it was looking that it had that glistening look to it. We've said this in research podcasts. The members there and the way that the organising committee work it is that they try and get that course as firm as fast as they can the preceding weekend to when the players arrive. Now that will of course have concurred with the ladies playing the women's amateur. What was it? Thursday through Saturday. They'll dial that back now. And that won't be through any natural precipitation. That'll be clearly through their own devices. And then just slowly but surely, Tuesday through Wednesday, building up to the Thursday start, they'll start to turn the wick up. The fear this year, when you were looking at the long-range forecast, and even the forecast yesterday, it's in my preview. I could bring it up. There was a 75 to 80% chance of thunderstorms post play Thursday and then encroaching into play on Friday morning. But all of a sudden, that 70% chance has receded back to, I'm seeing the highest at 40%.
We're expecting it to be quite firm coming in. So we kind of anticipated that Thursday was going to be maybe 2016 like in terms of the conditions, and then potentially it was going to get softened up from there if a lot of rain did come in. But as you said, it's changed quite dramatically. The wind's changed as well, because originally when I looked at this yesterday, the weekend was pretty benign. Oh,
pan flat, mate. Pan absolutely. Flat the weekend was, and now it's not.
Yeah, now you're looking, the current forecast I'm looking at here, towards the end of the day on Saturday, you're looking at gusts, well, in excess of 30 miles an hour, potentially 30, 35, maybe even 40 miles an hour, according to this forecast. And then a pretty breezy day on Sunday as well. Now, we're going to have to keep quite close to this, because if that's the case, then those later, you know, the guys are in good position coming out of the weekend could be really struggling towards the end of the day on Saturday. I don't know. Well, it's an interesting dynamic to add to the mix this week, definitely.
I think this is getting more towards, if we're going back, this is completely not November last year, the conditions. It's not a soft golf course. It's not going to be a relatively calm wind event. It only really blew last year on the Sunday. I think 68 was the best score Sunday. But it was still on a soft golf course. This is starting to feel, to me, like 2016 territory. And as we know, we had a bit of a outsider win that year, didn't we? In the form of Danny Willett. And Barry said this last week, wind and a firm golf course at Augusta brings the scoring right down, yeah? And that was the year, of course, where Willett won at, would it have been 5 or 6 under par?
Yeah, it was definitely single figures. And it was the one where Spieth was in control, wasn't it? And then got to the back nine on Sunday and Willett just held his nerve.
Willett won at 5 after Jordan collapsed, as you said. And the one after that, 2017, the head-to-head between Garcia and Rose, that was another wind-affected. It was gusting 15, 20 up to 25 the first 2 days of that. And I remember, I was looking into it early last week. I think something like 4 or 5 under was leading after 2 days. That particular year. And Garcia eked it out to 9 under.
Well, if the forecast is right and the conditions aren't going to be firm and there's going to be a bit of wind around, then you can't see it getting particularly deep. And as you say, the kind of numbers that we saw in November, it should be completely different. You know, anything approaching double figures under par may well be in a seriously contending position coming into Sunday.
You also said, Barry, that this is going to bring more players into play, yeah? Shorter hitters, for example.
If we're going to
see this wind.
And if the fairways have a little bit of more, let's say, release in them. I mean, we know that they brush the grass back towards the tees or they mow them in that direction to limit the rollout of the ball. But if it's firm and fast, you know, you can flight your ball down a bit and maybe get it chasing out. And that could just, it should bring more guys into the mix.
I can see that. I can see that. I'm just gonna quickly run through those two leaderboards. I mean, I'm categorising Danny Willett. Wind rounds 1 through 3, and it was a firm golf course, basically from Friday through to Sunday. Willett first, Spieth, Westwood tied for second, Casey, Holmes, DJ tie for fourth. Fitzpatrick, Søren Kjeldsen. I mean, there you go. Søren Kjeldsen, seventh at the Masters. And Hideki Matsuyama in seventh. Berger, Jason Day, McIlroy, Rose and Snedeker were the tied for 10th golfers that particular year.
Yeah. And Kjeldsen. If you can get a 278, 280 average out of Kjeldsen, you're doing well. So that tells you a story as to how that played.
So short hitters were very much in play for each-way payouts. The 2017 renewal, it was soft in round one. It was windy for round one and all round two. And if I'm categorising as windy, it was plus 20 miles an hour. And the golf course then firmed out very nicely rounds 3 and 4. Garcia won at 9 under in a playoff from Justin Rose. Our friend Charles Schwartzel was third. Thomas Peters and Matt Kuchar in fourth. Casey sixth. So Casey was a factor in both. McIlroy, Chappell, Moore and Scott rounded out the each way. Well, whether they were playing 9 places back in 2017, I doubt it. But yes, basically, they rounded out the top 10. Moore, Scott, Chappell, McIlroy.
Some guys there just you wouldn't associate with long hitting. Interesting. It opens it up and makes it more, I don't know, it makes the long shots a little bit more interesting, I guess.
For our reference, Barry, John Rahm, that was his first ever go around Augusta. He was sixth after 54 holes and then just went backwards as a very inexperienced young professional on the Sunday. So he was right in the mix.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Might be featuring in the picks.
Spoiler alert. Interesting stuff. That has completely and utterly flipped in the last 12 hours.
Because
in not even 12 hours, it's less than that. I mean, I looked at this last night before retiring to my bed, and it was a calm Thursday. The rain, as we said, through Thursday night into Friday could have encroached on play. There were thunderstorms, so we could have had a situation where they weren't playing for a chunk of Friday. Saturday, Sunday was pan calm. No rain, no wind. It was going to be scoreable city. And now, all of a sudden, we're seeing the weekend gusting, potentially, up to 30 miles an hour, both Saturday and Sunday. Also, we know that people love a first-round leader punt. We'll go into some more details on that further into the podcast. But it potentially, looking at this wind forecast, would suggest that the early starters have got the break in terms of slightly less wind early doors. So they'll have the disadvantage of cooler air temperatures. they'll have the advantage of slightly softer ground conditions, and they'll have the advantage of slightly less gusting wind towards the afternoon for the late starters, and that is a really hot spot for first round leaders, kind of groups 27 through 30, the late starters, the TV starters. It's looking like it's going to be up to 20 miles an hour in terms of the wind Thursday for the start of the 2021 Masters. It's fascinating stuff, how this stuff's just changing constantly.
Yep, adds another dynamic to it, which all adds to the intrigue.
Now, trends, statistics, everything that we have looked for when selecting our players, I refer you and wholeheartedly refer you, listener, to the podcast that we did a few weeks ago, which was our research podcast. It's over an hour just packed full of all that information that you'd be looking for. The trends, you know, what kind of skill sets are required. It's episode 157. Well worth a listen. It's done tremendous business already. Very, very popular. So if you haven't listened to that so far, make sure that you listen to episode 157. That'll give you a lot of background into the detail why we've chosen the players we've chosen this week. Or reasons why you wouldn't choose the players that we've chosen. And this is the point. It's this podcast is all about you guys and empowering you with the information and just a chat around who you should be actually choosing for the Masters. Doesn't have to be concurred with what we're saying. So yeah, episode 157, the research podcast, absolutely vital.
Well, I mean, and the other thing is, it is Tuesday of a major week, and there's a lot of stuff everybody's busy with. So we will be touching on a few of those key things as part of our talk today. You know, so if you have the time,
we can't go into anywhere near the detail that we have done in that 157 podcast. Yeah, I'll take you through the top 10 of my predictor model. golfbettingsystem.co.uk. We have a predictor, a Masters predictor model, which has variables in there, such as who over the last 5 years on the PGA Tour has performed best on firm golf courses. That could be absolutely ideal this week. Who over the last 5 years has performed best in the wind? It's all completely free of charge, no paywall at Golf Betting System. So use that predictor model, a really great tool this week for you. I pulled my model together. My model wasn't, and I say this now because the forecast has changed. I did throw wind in there, but I didn't throw it in there maybe as much as I should have done. But I came out with top 10. Joaquin Neiman, Ryan Palmer. I think Palmer's not a bad bet this week, you know, Ryan Palmer, at 90-1. 8, JT. 7, McIlroy. 6, Spieth. If I'd have thrown wind up, ratcheted that up, and firm conditions, Spieth would be far higher than 6th, I can assure you. 5, Paul Casey. I tell you what I might do. When you guys are chatting later on in the pod, I'm going to pull together a different predictor and see how it comes out. 6, Spieth, 5, Casey, 4, DeChambeau, 3, Garcia, 2, defending champion Dustin Johnson, and number 1, Big John Rahm.
Don't touch it. The model sounds perfect, Steve. I'm okay.
To be fair, I could cope with John Rahm winning and Sergio Garcia finishing second. I'd be more than happy with that. In fact, I'd be happier if Sergio won, but there we go. Is there anything you guys want to mention before we go into the markets and before we go into who we've actually chosen for the 2021 Masters?
No, only to, you know, we talked about how the bookies might play this week, and you know, when we did the research podcast, the markets were very primitive, and none of the main bookies had extended out their each way terms, which was a bit disappointing because given we were only a week or so ahead of the. Ahead of this week, but yeah, a number of them have really stepped up, haven't they, this week? And you've got the likes of Boyle Sports, Coral, Paddy Power, Betfair all gone 10 places each way this week. William Hill gone 9, and there's a good blend with the likes of Bet365 and Betfred, who've both gone 8 each way, but both have some very strong prices as well. With Boyles, they've put a special bet 10, get 20 in free bets offer out this week for the Masters, which you can find on Steve's preview this week and on the site. Of course, terms, conditions apply. But yeah, if you fancy getting 10 places each way, then pop along to the site. And we've listed all of the different bookies and their respective each way terms. So in a field of 88 players, when you're getting 8 or 9 or 10 places, it does give you an awful lot of scope to grab an each way place, I think.
I think the other thing to highlight, I mean, we're going to have a lot of new fresh listeners this week. Apologies if you are a regular. Boyle Sports, so far in 2021, have offered the most additional each-way places, second to none across both European Tour and PGA Tour combined. So, you know, they're offering these extended places each and every week. So, yeah, great to take advantage of that boosted new customer offer sign-up for if you're a UK 18+. There's also an Irish offer available for those of you in the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. On the site as well. The other one I do want to mention from a bookmaker's perspective, and then we'll go into the detail. We've got this fantastic offer that we pulled together with Treble Eight Sport. So for new customers 18+ across both the Republic of Ireland and the UK, Treble Eight Sport are offering huge boosted odds on 3 of the big favourites. So you can choose one from either Dustin Johnson at 66-1. He's currently, let's have a look at DJ. What price is DJ at the moment?
8-9-1.
Yeah. He's 8-1 with Treble Eight Sport at the moment. So you can get him at 66s. You can also choose Big Bad Bryson DeChambeau at 100-1 or John Rahm at 100-1. This offer is live, and to access it, I've put a link through to the promotion in the podcast description, or simply come to Golf Betting System and look in our promotions column on the homepage, or just come and read my Masters tips preview. Post registration with Treble Eight Sport, you must make a £10 or €10 qualifying deposit using the promo code. This is important. When you make your first deposit, you have to use the promo code. There's a little promo code box in the deposit area. Just type in 888 odds, 888, then capital letters, ODDS, Treble Eight Odds, and then make your first ever bet with them, which has to be win only. Then you choose. Just go to the Masters market, just choose either DJ, Rahm, or Bryson. It will have their standard odds, but you will then get them at those 66-1 or 100-1 price points, whoever you choose. So I think it's a cracking offer, it has to be said. Win only, and the maximum stake, and you'd be silly not to really, is £5 or €5. Extra winnings are paid in free bets. Full terms and conditions are available, of course, on the Golf Betting System website. So 66-1 on DJ, or 100-1 on Bryson or John Rahm with Treble Eight Sport for new customers.
When are bookies going to finally kind of get on board with this, like, favoritism of new customers for their offers? It feels like the industry is kind of lagging a little bit behind other industries. I have numerous betting accounts because it makes sense to be able to pick and choose odds and match it up. I'm a regular customer. I want a bit of like a reward for my custom, you know. So any bookies,
you get boosted odds because you're a regular with some of your bookmakers.
I do, but you know, I want more. I'm greedy. I see all these new customer offers and I'm jealous. I want more, so just want to get it out there for the bookies listening in.
Yeah, Barry wants more free bets.
I want a bookmaker paying 7 places at the Grand National this Saturday. That's what I'm looking for. Whether we get that, we'll
see. The winner of the Irish Grand National was 150-1.
Mm. Wow.
Good luck with that.
You might be 151 winner of the Masters this week, looking at this weather forecast. Okay, so great offers. Treble Eight Sport. We've got Boyle Sports on the 10 place each way. Let's talk about our particular picks. Now, I'm going to start this week, as I did exactly last week. One of the guys said, Steve, I want you to tell us each week who I should be laying. Now, you guys tittered last week. And I picked Scotty Scheffler, didn't I? Started well, looked like he was right, bang on, and then completely fell apart on Friday. So yeah,
it's a good job. I looked at Scheffler after, what was he, 4 or 5 under after the first round. I thought that might come back and bite Steve on the backside, that one. But he fell apart, didn't he?
Not he with that volume of golf he played the week before.
He got tired, yeah. Friday fell apart. I was tempted, you know, on Scottie Scheffler this week. I was absolutely, he was on the cusp of my tips at that. Where did he actually come out at in terms of, you know, 50-1, you can get him at a couple of places this week. Scheffler's got that right kind of game for Augusta. Long, accurate hitter off the tee, but long, great GIR man, but didn't make it in the end. Now, let's take the top of the market. So they look, people are looking for opinions this week. Dustin Johnson, 9-1 favourite. We've got Bryson DeChambeau. It's a real mix. It's so close. DeChambeau at 11s, Spieth at 11s. Rahm at 12s, JT at 12s, Rory McIlroy 18. So, boys, separate those out for me. Out of those top six big names, who don't you fancy and who do you fancy? And then I'll say my piece afterwards.
Yeah, given the conditions that we can see, the most anti conditions in my view is Rory McIlroy there. He wants a soft, not necessarily windless, but soft golf course to really produce his best golf. And if we're coming into an event that is likely to be firm to begin with, increasingly less likely to receive the kind of rain that would soften it up, and an increasingly strong wind forecast, I think that negates his best way of getting round and navigating around this golf course. Of course, you've got the career slam in terms of his personal objectives to consider as well. But of the players that you just listed, the one that I would be least inclined, and you can make a case for the other ones quite comfortably, I think, the one I'd be least inclined to back personally would be Rory.
I have a difficult situation with Rory because I'm such a huge fan of his. So I could not make impartial statements on the situation. It's so hard to know when it's just going to click for Rory, but he's so good, it will click. You know, there's something, the work he's putting in, it will happen. It'll more than likely be out of nowhere based on where he's been at recently, although I mean,
he always does.
What's he had, like a couple of missed cuts, a 28th, but in the mix of that, he's got a 6th and a 10th. Before that, 13th, 6th, 3rd. You know, it's always overhyped how, let's say, quote unquote, bad Rory's playing and how what a catastrophe it is where his game is at, and it's just ridiculous because the standard he's held to is Tiger-esque, and the expectation is Tiger-esque on what he achieves. So anything other than a victory on a given week is just deemed an abject failure, and the narrative is just hammered on him. And obviously, it's had, you know, that has to have an effect on him because it's just this negative feedback loop he's getting. So look, I'm just going to sit in the fence when it comes to Rory. If he goes out and wins this week, it wouldn't shock me because he's just that kind of mercurial player when he gets on it. But the pointers aren't amazing for him. I'd probably oppose DeChambeau. I think, you know, his best result here is he hasn't had a top 20, although he's made the cut all 4 times he's played it. I think the green reading book really does impact him a lot more than, you know, he maybe lets on. These greens kind of feel like there's a little bit of artistry involved in kind of getting the ball to the hole, and his putting style or the way he puts seems a little bit more graph and mathematical, but so for that reason I'd kind of I'd swerve away from Bryson. DJ, you know, he's been a bit messy since the last round of Riviera at the Genesis.
Yeah,
you know, and I was having a look at him on the range yesterday. Yes, it's Monday of the week. There was nothing like there to make me rethink my stance on it, so I'd probably oppose DJ as well. JT, it's just hard to know. I mean, he popped up with that win out of kind of some funky form, you know, to win the Players. It's hard to know with JT. He's always quiet about JT going into these majors versus the rest of the names.
Mm. Yeah, he's got some good progressive form coming into it in terms of his Augusta form, hasn't he? Every time he's turned up, he's got progressively better at playing this track.
It's really good, isn't it? 39th, 22nd, 17th, 12th, 4th.
Yeah.
I'm a JT hater, apparently. I mean, that is complete and utter rubbish. I'm one of JT's biggest fans. It's amazing how I'm a JT hater when I don't keep mentioning him for the Masters. That's because I don't fancy him to win the Masters. So I'm a hater on JT, apparently.
Steve, you're taking this stuff way too personally.
Not really. I just point these things out. It's some of the noise you get. I'm a JT hater. So I said, no, I'm not a hater. I kind of back him. He's the player I've won with most. I'm no hater. I've gone onto our predictor model and I've ramped up wind to maximum. Number one, Dustin Johnson. That won't surprise, really, will it? He's my lay of the week, by the way, DJ. Doesn't win. Two, Jordan Spieth. That doesn't surprise. Tied for third is Mark Leishman, who we did mention the other week. The only thing he did do at the Players was hit a lot of greens. The rest of his game was garbage. And then we were heavily on him at the World Match Play. He did absolutely nothing. But Leishman, 110-1 with Bet365. Hideki Matsuyama and Zach Johnson tied for fourth. I think Zach Johnson's playing some reasonable stuff in patches at the moment. And if it is going to be windy and firm, as we saw with Soren Kjeldsen and some other names, Matt Kuchar, short can be effective this week for an each-way punt. Gary Woodland is tied in sixth with Rory McIlroy. Webb Simpson at 8. Justin Rose at 9, who nobody's talking about because we barely ever see him. Tie for 10th, Jason Day and Bryson DeChambeau. So if people say DeChambeau can't play in the wind, that's a false. Kuchar tied for 12th with Patrick Reed in Poulter. Harris English tied in 15 with Brooks Koepka. I haven't mentioned Justin Thomas or John Rahm in those top 15. They are lower down. They're in the top 25. JT and Rahm. Don't know. My lay of the week is DJ. He doesn't win for me. So you don't know with Rory. You said this in the podcast the other day, Barry. You can't just is it Phil Kenyon now? It isn't like a laptop where you put the lead in and the app works through the operating mechanism and he comes out Rory McIlroy hitting 90% of greens. And
software.
It just doesn't upgrades. Happen like that, does it?
Yeah. It's Pete Cowan he's working with.
Pete Cowan, sorry, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
So.
Pete Cowan. It just doesn't happen, does it? You don't plug the lead in and it's a diagnostic check and all of a sudden Rory McIlroy from 2012 winning the PGA Championship.
Yeah, he's work in progress, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was interesting. I watched a good bit of the live from the Masters yesterday, and Spieth's always fascinating to listen to. His press conference, he mentioned something that really kind of stuck out. He said, it's taken a long time. You know, obviously he was in a dark space, and he said, it's going to take a long time to undo the thousands of bad swings I was making for various compensatory reasons. And it's true, there's the wiring in your body kind of gets set a certain way from following certain things you're doing. And those things, it just doesn't seem like we have the ability as humans to really just switch them off on a basis that would allow you to go nuts on a given week. You know, it takes time to unmess those situations, the wiring. So look, I think when Rory clicks, God help the rest of golf, because I think he'll just go on a really, really savage run.
I don't think it's this week, but I'm going to be on a run of backing Rory McIlroy very, very soon, blind almost, because he's going to be coming up to some golf courses with no form. You'll be getting 16 and 18 to 1, and he will win one of them. Mm. It happens every time. Rory's this, Rory's that. 18 to 1, 20 to 1 wins a tournament. And then next week after, 8 to 1. It's the time to be backing him. I don't think it's this week, but it was interesting. Jordan Spieth also said in a press conference, I think it was Friday I read, I am recalibrating everything I do to what I was doing, which got me to this position in 2015. And like you said, there's been a lot of bad swings in between 2015 to 2017 and now, and I'm having to basically go back to what I did well when I was good. That's what he said.
Yeah,
it's hard work to get there.
Yeah, sometimes these guys overanalyze it, and
they get told to change things, don't they? I mean, Jordan, you need to change your swing. Well, yeah, but I've won like 11 tournaments.
Or you see a few tournaments just trend a certain way, and you think you might need to make a change, and maybe you just need a tiny break for a week. And if it was easy to figure out these things, we wouldn't see golfers go through these slumps that can last quite an extended period of time. It's very, very difficult to get it right. And it's just so good to see Spieth back playing, because he makes it more exciting watching a tournament when he's in the mix. There's just something more he brings than other guys can in terms of an excitement factor.
DJ's my lay then. I think DeChambeau's got a great shout this week. He's a decent enough wind player. We've seen that. He's going to potentially, though, have to... Well, it depends on the direction of the wind and how it plays. But the thing I do like about Bryson at the moment, he's dialed back Bryson. You wouldn't have seen that on the range yesterday. But when he's in play, he seems to be running more. He seems to have lost a little bit of weight and playing more 95% strategic stuff. You wouldn't go off in the final group at TPC Sawgrass if you were just literally playing the Bryson way that he was, of hitting it as far as he could every hole. I think Spieth is absolutely 100% in play this week. No doubt about that in my mind whatsoever. He is a feature. And we'll talk about first round leader later on. I think Rahm is due. Statistically, you can't throw him out. I think he's peaking, and a lot of previous winners of this, you see that they're actually peaking as they're coming towards this tournament. And also with Rahm, he's come into this, I'd say, top two, top three favourite, getting a lot of attention. The way that he's actually been very understated this year and not getting any of the highlights, I think that will work for him. He won't feel that he's one of the favourites this week. And of course, baby swag. So that can't be understated. He'll be on cloud nine this week, John Rahm. JT's got a great chance. He doesn't tick enough, but he doesn't. There are boxes that you can't tick with JT. And when you're separating the best players in the world, if I'm seeing boxes that aren't ticked because it doesn't fit the narrative of winners we've seen here, I can't go with JT, and I can't go with Rory, as we discussed. So that's my view on the top six.
Brooks has really thrown a cat amongst the pigeons by showing up this week, because we've been talking about Brooks for weeks, and we've had him eyed up for this for
a long time. My number one selection. Yeah.
And then a knee surgery with like talk of ligaments as well. And he says he's saying yesterday he can swing without any inhibitions or problems, but moving around the course and walking around the course is difficult. But at this stage, I'm kind of learning to take everything Brooks says with a little pinch of salt. I think he's just like half the time he's just messing with people just for his own amusement.
Apparently, he will only turn up if he's going to win. Well, he's not going to turn up to say, I've come here to miss the cut.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm going to miss the cut, boys. But I've turned up.
Just making the numbers.
What's he going to say?
I think there's a difference, though, in saying I'm looking to have a good performance this week versus his mindset, which is there's no point in me showing up if I don't think I can win. So we've seen Brooks with his back against the wall, or when somebody kind of gives him ammunition to work with for the week,
well,
he's just gone and destroyed fields.
The bookmakers don't think he's going to win because he's doubled in price to 25-1.
It's now getting very tempting at that price.
Mm.
And look, I mean. Looking at him on the range yesterday, it didn't look in discomfort when he was swinging, so that's a good thing. How that kind of unfolds during the week with more and more being put through the knee, who knows? But like 25-1 on Brooks will be head-smackingly annoying if he does go well and you're not on this. I think there should be like a, and yeah, I don't know, maybe that extra jump from 18 to 25 to 1 or something like that is the
you know what?
That's the risk you're assuming by backing him.
If I'd had, if he'd have come out last week at the Valero Texas Open, turned up, walked around, missed the cut, but played,
yeah,
I would have been on him. I wouldn't have worried about the missed cut in the slice. I wouldn't have worried about anything. But the fact that he's there playing competitive golf, is this the fact? What is it, 5 weeks now? It would be great if it happened. It's
a bit of sharpness, isn't it?
It'd be great if it happened. I was praying that he turned up at the Valero Texas Open, but he didn't. So I'm off. Koepka. I mean, of course, it's a value play. It's obvious. I'm going to start running through my tips, and I'm going to run in reverse order. So I'm going to go with my biggest first. I know that, Paul, you've got a plenty of long shots to mention. I'm also wary we're 49 minutes into the pod, so we need to just start coming to where we're at with our tips. Right, my first tip of the week. I would never have said this. Sometimes, these decisions come late and for good reason. My first tip, and I don't think this weather forecast does this tip any harm whatsoever, because I can remember a very weather-affected major at Bethpage Black. And Brooks won it. He won it from Dustin Johnson, who was charging on the Sunday and then literally got to Brooks, who was in free fall, and then DJ collapsed. Matt Wallace was third in that, and I was really, really impressed with a few things last week in Texas. I was impressed with his game. 10th for driving distance, 3rd for greens in regulation, 8th for ball striking. He was 1st for strokes gained on approach, thank you very much, for the Masters. 11th for strokes gained around the green. That's the thing with Wallace, he's got a fantastic short game for when he's missing greens. He's a grinder. 1st for strokes gained tee to green. I'm in, 100 to 1. I got that 8 places each way, 50 odds with Bet 365.
Yeah, his long game did look good, didn't it? And
I love the relationship with Gareth Lord.
Yeah,
I love it. Yeah. Barry said, I didn't realise, Barry, you were on him, but over the last few weeks, I just think that relationship's making a bit of a man of Matt Wallace, and all of a sudden this petulance is calming down because he knows he's got one of the most highly respected caddies on his bag now with all this experience. Major experience, major winning experience, and Wallace is calming down, and that makes him a danger. And it's Ryder Cup year, and I think Wallace in our team at Whistling Straits would be a huge plus for us because he's so damn competitive. Major golf is his scene, I think, Paul. You've told me this. He's, for me, he wants to be in the biggest tournaments in front of the cameras and the crowds and contending. He doesn't shy away from any of this.
No. I think he's got that kind of mentality. And, I've watched him closely as he's developed through from, pre-European Tour player to multiple European Tour winner to, firmly ensconced now inside the world's top 50 and with a live shout of making the Ryder Cup if he has a good second half to the season from here. Mentality-wise, he's got that very strong competitive streak over spill sometimes, and that's the bit that he's working on. But if with Gareth Lord, he can, between the two of them, they can kind of temper that to a certain degree and bring out some of his best golf, because he's a fantastic driver of the ball, fantastic putter when he's on his game, and the weeks that he does really well are the weeks that he gets his approach play dialed in. And the numbers that were coming out of Valero were strong. I can see where you're going with that bet, 100%.
The other thing I read in an interview last week was he said, I was absolutely clueless at Augusta National. I had no clue what I was doing. And then I played last year with Bernhard Langer, and he effectively put his arm around my shoulder and taught me how to play Augusta National. And he said, as soon as he started telling me how to play it, it all started to make sense. So I think he's ready to go. By the way, that third place at the PGA Championship, he had finished the week before second on the European Tour at the Betfred British Masters and flew across, arrived in New York on the Monday, finished third. I think he's one of those players that when he finds something, he'll stay hot for a consecutive week. So I'm all in on Wallace. This weather, the thing I'm looking for this week are players that have hit greens in regulation a very high amount within their last two appearances. And that is a trend you see every year at the Masters. One with experience, one that plays well in majors, one that's won around here. I thought 66 to 1 on Adam Scott was a very, very fair price. I think you can throw whatever weather at him, whatever conditions, be them firm, be them soft. He's been here, he knows the course, he knows how to play it. I thought Scott at 66 is, I've got William Hill 9 places each way on that. I think for an each way punt, I don't say Adam Scott wins this, but I can see Adam Scott very much towards the top 10 come Sunday afternoon. And I would like Scott in there. See it as a kind of insurance policy, one of those insurance bets where if it all turns to poo, you might sneak a top 9 out of Adam Scott and get a full each way. I like that approach.
Yeah.
The one who I'm very excited about, the one I think is a great winning price for the Masters, when you look at winning prices here, you tend to get shorties. I mean, last year we had 9-1 Dustin Johnson. He was second favourite. Before that, Tiger Woods was 16-1. He was 6/7 favourite. We've also had Jordan Spieth in his pomp 2015 at 11-1. But then you've got a lot of 45-1s, 55-1 Reed, 45-1 Garcia. So it's exactly the same price he won at in 2017, Sergio Garcia. The golf that I saw from Sergio, and you and I, Barry, have spoken about this, the golf that we saw from him, both the first round at the Players' Championship, but then throughout the World Match Play, which doesn't get recorded in any strokes gain metrics that we get access to, I thought his play in Austin was fantastic. Brilliant off the tee. Some of the drives on that drivable par 4, the 13th was it? I think he hit 3-wood one day to about 2 feet. And then he hit driver on the Saturday to about 4 foot on that. You just sat there and this is Garcia at his very best with the long go. And starting to make more putts. Didn't seem to be putting with his eyes closed.
The putter looked nice.
It looked smooth. It looked confident, yeah. Even.
It looks like he has a new putter there in his hand with this like sleek low back.
They mentioned something about they tweaked also the angle of the putter slightly.
It looked less electrified, which I've said to a couple of people in his hands. You know,
but he was making 8 to 10 footers, Barry.
I mean, even a broken clock goes right twice a day. Right?
Or 4 matches at the match play, you've got to be making a fair share of putts, haven't you?
Yeah, he's playing well. I'm on the Sergio train as well. It would be a nice win. We'll see how it goes.
And then I won't go any more into the because I'm right at the top now with my selections. But I could put lines through so many of these mid-range players. That was where I got to. The one I wanted to back was Koepka, but Koepka was never 25-1 if he was coming here in the right manner. But Xander, can't touch him. Patrick Cantlay, can't go anywhere near him. Hovland, struggling. Reed, we've discussed. I don't think Reed's playing the golf he was playing when he won. Tony Finau, sorry, Barry, he just seems to be in a bit of a funk at the moment.
Little bit, yeah.
Daniel Berger, not for me. Webb Simpson, could place, doesn't win because he can't win at Augusta. That's my opinion. He's far too short. Cam Smith, 2 years in a row, not sure. There was just a list of players. And then, of course, we get to Lee Westwood and Paul Casey. So I know Paul Casey clearly is the punt of the week. Barry, you comment on that. I'll let you go for that one.
Like what, punting your money away? Or I looked at his everything is, if you did the like a hide name feature, you know, beside the stats, like Casey just has so many things screaming back him, but there's just something that's held him, you know, him or others has held him away from winning one of these big ones. I mean, it's interesting, this week we've been talking about it, that it feels like a very, nobody's standing head and shoulders above the rest for me in terms of, like, way clear is the obvious pick. And there's so many have fallen into this, like, grey zone of, like, making them difficult to pick, but also difficult to put a line through as well. I could run through the entire board and give you reasons why guys can't win and also why they could win. And it's narrowing it down this year seems a little bit trickier because of that. That's just like, this could be just a perception I have from my perspective. It's if you're just looking at the odds, you know, once you kind of hit that 25-1 spot, there's quite a number of guys between 25 and 50-1, and that means the bookies are kind of a little, you know, to me, means they're in a little bit of limbo as well about what's going to happen or who they fancy this week. They've kind of spread the risk across a lot of guys.
So who you're on, Sergio?
Sergio, what
about you, Paul? Who have you backed? You've been very quiet so far.
The only guy in that region and that range that I've backed is Adam Scott as well. And I agree with you. He generally does come in off a light schedule with these kind of things.
He doesn't care, Paul. Does not care about non-majors. He just doesn't care. Yeah. He admitted that in public, didn't he? Hawaii. Just not bothered. Yeah. Not done. He just tinkers with his game.
Yeah, no, we've seen different facets to his game over the last few months when he has played. For a while, he was putting very un-Adam Scott-like. And, you know, some really good putting performances coming out, and his long game wasn't quite there. Yet more recently, we've seen a resurgence in his long game.
Mm.
And I think coming into this event, that's exactly where he needs to be, confident in his long game and knowing that he's put some decent passing performances together in the not-so-recent past. He also owes me one for 2013 still, go back in the day when he beat Angel Cabrera in the playoff. I've still not quite forgiven him, but I could forgive him this week should he go and win at 66-1. So, Scott's in the team for me. I've backed one at the top, which we'll go through afterwards. But other than that, I've backed three longer prizes.
Yeah, take him through the long shots you've backed.
I think there's a... In a field of 88 with 8, 9, 10 places available each way, there's scope for picking a player or two or three out who you think can find themselves into that kind of bracket. I mean, you go back to November, Dylan Fratelli placed at 250-1, CT Pan placed at 500-1. And it's not just places, is it? You know, going back historically, Charles Schwartzel, when he went off at 90-1, but I think you could get early 100-1 on him when he won at won in 2011. Cabrera was 140-1 back in 2009. Immelman was 150-1 in 2008. And Zach, when he won without taking any of the par fives on, was 200-1 back in 2007. So it happens.
2019, Paul, Webb Simpson placed 100-1 in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Webb Simpson.
Absolutely. So yeah, I've backed three figure prices. And I see your angle with Matt Wallace, and I wouldn't put anyone off backing Wallace as well. Matt Kuchar backed at 100-1. He missed the cut in November. But that was the first time he'd made, but he'd made the cut in 10 previous straight Augusta outings. Four top eight finishes in that time as well. So some really good, consistent Augusta form there. Eight other top 10 major finishes over the years as well. I think these firmer conditions should suit him. A bit of wind is also good for Kuchar. And he's that type of player. We've talked about Kuchar a number of times, haven't we? He's that type of player who builds up his form. So third at the match play, he looked really good at the match play. I was really impressed. 12th last week as well. And if you listen to some of his interviews, some of the words that he's coming out with recently, he's talking really, really positively about his game. And he is that kind of player who just strings together a few top 10, top 5 finishes together and then eventually goes and wins at 12-1 or 14-1. But 100-1, I think he can finish top 8. I think that's the kind of target for me for him this week. And I think having finished top 8 in four of the last 10 starts for himself, that's more than possible here at Augusta. So Kuchar's in. I've also backed Danny Willett, and I backed him pre this change in the forecast, and the change in the forecast probably makes it even stronger in my view. Willett's 200-1, and I think that kind of mixed bag weather-wise, it does call for a bit of versatility. And you know, for a guy who grew up in England, Willett's seen it all in his formative years of playing golf, and you know, a bit of wind, bit of firm conditions, bit of rain, whatever it throws at him, he's going to be there to handle it, I think. And going back to 2016, this could well be the closest, and you mentioned this at the start, Steve, could be the closest correlation in terms of conditions that we've seen since 2016. And that was the year that Willett won. So yeah, happy to plump with him. He's certainly been focusing on the bigger events. You look at what the last two wins for Willett, 2018 DP World Tour Championship he won. He held off Patrick Reed there. 2019 BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. He beat John Rahm by 3 shots. So, you know, in his mind, he's clearly focusing on these big events. So, miscut last week at the Valero. Not even bothered for me. He just went out and swung the club for a couple of days and got himself ready for this week. So, Willett's in. And the other one, CT Pan, 250-1. And he's one of the guys I mentioned a second ago who had placed in November. He has to wait, nearly 2 years from qualifying to actually playing in the Masters for his debut. Because he won the Heritage pretty much straight after the Masters back in 2019. And then with a delayed event last year, it took him a long time to actually get to tee it up. But
Is that the Heritage that Siwu didn't win because Pan did? No, it was Kodaira beat
Siwu. No, that was Satoshi Kodaira. Yeah.
I think of Kodaira.
He's had a great PGA Tour career since Satoshi, hasn't he? I.e., doesn't barely make a cut.
Unreal. Sorry to interject. Siwu one still stings.
He was dining out on that for a while, Kodaira, I think. It was worth the wait for Pan, though, wasn't it? He finished seventh on his debut, best major finish. And for the guys who'd look through the current form and course form stats just to pick out recent numbers, he was third on his last start at the Honda. So he's coming in off the back of a third place finish. He's coming in off the back of a seventh place finish here on his debut in November. He was fifth for greens in regulation at the Honda. He was ninth for strokes gained putting at the Honda. And again, he's another one. If you listen to some of his interviews, he's really talking positively about his game. So 250-1, he might absolutely love Augusta National. We've seen him once around here and he finished sitting in a tie for seventh. Do that again at 250-1 with his extended places, and I'll be a happy chap.
Yeah, cheers. 50-1 on the place. Look, the Honda's no joke of a test. To do that well in GIR for the week, and that's a really nice warm up.
He played really nicely there, and he's been held back by the putter. The putter's been awful for him for months, and all of a sudden he's making putts at Honda. He was really solid in that final round, where a lot of were going backwards, like Aaron Wise, and Pan just ground it out. Yep. Yeah, Pan's good.
Do you want to see some nice stuff?
Top 10 of the predictor model I've just literally pulled together that's absolutely amping on wind and firm golf conditions, I've amped up recent major championships, current form in. Here's the top 10. Reads differently. 10, Connors. 9, Ryan Palmer. So he's in both models. 8, Sung Jae-im. Wasn't in the original model. 7, JT. That's up a spot. 6, Webb Simpson, who wasn't in the original at all. 5, Sergio Garcia. 4, Bryson DeChambeau. 3, John Rahm. You're going to love this, Barry. 2, Paul Casey. 1, Dustin Johnson. My lay of the week's number one statistically. stats are stats, aren't they?
This is the whole point.
Paul Casey has jumped from position 5 to position 2 statistically, based upon the different variables I've put in.
Yeah. And this is the whole point. Is depending what you think is the most important factor here can materially change how this could pan out. And you can make a case. You can make a plausible case for so many players.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if you could have a strokes gained mental variable? The one thing that's always missing.
Mm-hmm. The hardest one of all.
Hardest one of all. What goes on between the ears when the real pressure's on. Right. At the top, we've given out a good range, price.
I've one that's just kind of in the... just underneath the long odds, but above the juicy mid odds. I've gone the Riviera angle. Max Homa.
All right, okay.
Won at Riviera.
Yep.
Playing well. Got his first Masters under his belt in November. Right. So yeah, he missed a cup, but there was plenty of good stuff in there to show that he can play the course, and maybe he just needed that. You get that first one out of the way. Since his win, 22nd, 10th, missed cut, and then 18th 2 weeks ago. So the form is still holding true. Says Augusta is one of his favorite places in the world. So, you know, what's I pick him up at? It was 80-1, I think. But I was hunting the extended places just to get the value on it there. So yeah, Mac, the Riviera angle was my focus there. And just looking back at that leaderboard, it kind of works quite nicely for one of my headline pick, which is John Rahm, which I suppose you're getting to now, Stephen. I'll let you jump in and give the reasons why Rahm's going to go well, because you'll have way better backup than I could.
John Rahm, statistically, he's bulletproof, really, apart from par 4 birdie or better, which is what we've been harking on about. But if you actually look at Rahm's performances here, which are incredibly consistent, I mean, for a guy that's only played here 4 times, his finishes tell you. You know, it's like, do you think John Rahm's made for Augusta National? Well, it becomes fairly obvious, doesn't it? You know, 27th on his debut year, and he was 6th after 54 holes. So that, yeah, that was a good indicator from the start. He's then reeled off 3 top 9 finishes in 3 consecutive years, 4th, 9th and 7th. He'll have seen different conditions, different winds, firm, fast, everything in there. But his par 4 birdie or better performances here, he was 5th on the par 4s in 18, 4th in 2019 and 10th in 2020. So he can play the par 4s here. And people, par 5 golf course. Actually, for me, it's being able to play the par 4s well and not make too many bogeys that then allows you to let rip on the par 5s and actually, you know, get to the top of the leaderboard. So I love Rahm this week. And he's just that kind of bubbling under, no one's really talking about him sort, can play in anything. And also, you remember that win at Memorial last year? Bit windy, firm. The golf course was firm, wasn't it? It was fiery. It was him and Ryan Palmer in the last round. Rahm stepped up to the plate to win that. 15th in bogey avoidance this season, 17th for birdie or better, 18th for going for the green, 24th distance to apex. I'm in, John Rahm. I'm happy with Rahm. It was difficult to separate him, Spieth and DeChambeau. I think Spieth's a fantastic bet. I cannot see Spieth not being in the top 5 come Sunday. We'll have a quick section on first round leader bets just after this. But I, in the end, plump for DeChambeau. I just think DeChambeau is primed. I mean, some of these numbers are crazy. Par 4 birdie or better last season, 8th. Going for the green, 1st. Distance to apex, 1st. There's a surprise. Birdie or better, 3rd. Bogey avoidance, he's in the top 20. Great scrambling game. He's a great putter. People mentioned the books. You mentioned it earlier. You actually look at his putting numbers here. I know that we're talking archaic statistics, because for whatever reason, they don't lay out the strokes gain data for this. But he's actually been putting really well on the greens here from a putts per GIR perspective. We can't see the strokes gain, so difficult to know. But yeah, I picked this. I suppose at the end of the day, I was on Spieth at 16s last week. That always has a bit of an impact, doesn't it? I'd love to be on him 175-1 this week. I know that.
Oh yeah, it's so hard to go back to back tournament wins. So hard.
Do you want me to throw in that statistic that we got screwed on last year with the number one and John and Dustin Johnson winning this?
Do it. Yeah.
Did you really want me to do it? I believe that no one has won the week before the Masters since Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
I think it was 2004.
It was 04 or 06, one or the other. Yeah,
I'll check.
That stat came by me there over the weekend. It was yesterday, I think, on Twitter or on the broadcast.
You're not really comparing like for like. Are you? It's like, you know, 2019, it'd been, Corey Connors won the week before and didn't win the Masters. No poo, Sherlock. Yeah, exactly. Obviously, really? We're talking Jordan Spieth.
And the week before generally trumps up a guy who's trying to win the invitation to the Masters. So it's mission accomplished then, you know.
2006, he won the Bell South Classic and then the Masters. So 2006 was the last time someone did this. It was Phil Mickelson. Jordan Spieth, more than capable.
Yeah, listen, guys, yeah. Trends are there to be broken, aren't they?
Yeah.
I back Spieth in running. He's the only player that I've got at the top of the market. I backed him when he was, you know, clearly showing some decent form last week. Clearly went on to win for you, which was great. 16-1 I took. What is he now? 11-1. So there's a lot of people who've gone down the same route for that. But given how he played last week, he's got to be properly pumped ahead of this week, I think. And yeah, I know you've got this stat, haven't you? Texas winners, you know, whether that was Houston or.
I don't think it's relevant for Spieth. I really don't think that's relevant. I'm just throwing it in there for. I don't think it affects Spieth. The only reason my down point on Spieth, if he drives the ball like he drove the ball for the last 15 holes on Sunday, he can win this. If Jordan Spieth off the tee, where he starts leaking a few more than he should, comes, he will contend, but ultimately I think he'll fall just slightly short. Because even when he won here, I mean, I'm just reading the numbers. Because I knew this was going to come up. The years that he contended here previously, seventh off, this was the week before, seventh off the tee, fourth off the tee, 16th, strokes going off the tee. He isn't in that driving form right now. But, and Barry said this last week, if you could segment small little, that last 15 holes at the Valero Texas Open, he was driving the ball brilliantly. If that sticks, he can win this, undoubtedly.
Well, we've watched, you know, over the last few weeks as he's clearly improved massively with his game. For me, it's been the driving that's been the difference. You know, the times where you'd have seen him absolutely wildly offline, yet far more than often, I'm seeing him in the middle of the fairway now.
He was still wildly offline quite a lot of the Valero, but Sunday it really tidied itself up when the pressure was on at the most. His game really came to it. His approach play is some of the best in the world. There's not many better than him at the moment, if any.
No. Fourth for strokes gained approach last week, which was great. Right. The other thing with Spieth is that all three of his major wins came after a top three finish on his previous start. So, him coming in and going win-win for me, perfect. It's quite possible.
He won the Travelers, didn't he, before his last major win at the Open.
Yeah. I took him each way at 16-1 because you have got a lot of players who could win this. But
you got 16s to him in play.
Mm.
When was that? Friday.
But it was Friday.
Great bet. First round leader. I just want you, Paul, quickly. First round leader. Always a lovely little side play here. There's a really nice trend. How does that tie in with the weather? Who do you two? Because I'm not a first round leader punter. Who do you two fancy as a first round leader?
Yeah, well, you're right. I'll be pushing out because we won't see the draw until tonight UK time. So it'll be Wednesday morning that we'll have a preview out for that. But historically, you've got these kind of sweet spots. One around about kind of 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. With some of the groups that go around there, there's been a lot of first round leads that have come out of that. And then at the back end of the day, the last two or three groups have tended to produce quite a lot of strong first round performances as well. And I guess what you often get in Augusta is at the end of the day, the wind can die down a little bit, it lays down a bit, and some of the guys coming home over those final few holes, which are scoreable, of course, can really, you know, put together a 5-under back nine, 6-under back nine, and get themselves right into the top end of the leaderboard. The forecast is, again, we're going to need to take another view of it first thing tomorrow morning. But the forecast right now would suggest that the early starters are more likely to get the best of the conditions, and the wind that does often lay down may not be laying down at the end of the day on Thursday, which would push people, or would push me towards a first round leader punt for an early start. But I'm not going to put any eggs in any baskets until I've seen the draw, I must say. We'll take it from there. But I don't know, you had some theories on it, Barry, didn't you?
Yeah, it's more probably with the changing weather and the lack of tee times being available to us right now, it might be prudent to hang on.
You don't need to say a bet, but what kind of players would interest you if the draw was right for them? I'm not saying you have to be held accountable for a bet. Jordan Spieth is so damn obvious, isn't he?
I think
first round leader in 2015, in 2016 and 2018.
Yeah. he's good.
And he's he's 16-1 generally across the board.
It's a no-brainer.
First round leader. Yeah, it seems that should be almost an auto bet.
In fact, I'm going to put it on now.
Yeah.
Another player who's got a great first round record is Justin Rose, and you know there's some unknowns with Justin, but he's gone and produced the goods a number of times in the past from a first round perspective. The one who I often come back to for first round leader is Ryan Palmer.
Don't say Matt Every. He's not in the field, Paul.
He's not. He's not in the field. No, Ryan Palmer. I mean, and Palmer's popped up on a couple of your.
What would you say? Both predictor models. The one I did yesterday, calmer, warmer, softer golf course. The last one I read through, firmer, windier golf course. He's still in the top 10.
Yeah, statistically. And I think, you know, going back to the mental side of it and everything, you know, Ryan Palmer, final nine of the Masters on Sunday, if he's in the mix, I'm not going near him. But for first round leader, if he gets a decent draw from here, 90-1.
Yeah,
that could well be the punt, but yes, I'll keep my powder dry until I've seen that draw.
So we'll be releasing them golf betting system Wednesday. We'll tweet them out, won't we? But yes,
yeah, absolutely.
All of the first round leader stats and draw.
Do you want a shock statement? I think Paul Casey could be a good shout for first round leader.
Makes sense.
The logic's the same, Barry, isn't it?
Makes sense.
At the back end of the tournament, it's more of a struggle. But when the pressure's off slightly and playing some good golf, quite possible.
So look, we have to say about Casey, when was the PGA last year? He was brilliant. Just Morikawa was extra brilliant. Yeah. You know, so there's something there. And look, Casey's probably at that sliding doors moment of his career where he's playing phenomenal golf and it either clicks and he gets the win or he'll just slide away and he just won't have that major win. I mean, he's not quite at the level of Westwood or Monty for, you know, best player to never win a major, but it'll certainly be a note in his Wikipedia page. Like, he was phenomenal and didn't win a major if he doesn't go grab one in the next short while, let's say, because he is playing phenomenal golf.
I think that wraps it up. I think that's us done.
Very much looking forward to it.
It's a great week. I love it. And, you know, the extended coverage that goes on, like, at the start of the week, just and looking at the old films, it just makes it a great time of year. And it certainly helps pass a week of lockdown. So
they are the best, Augusta National. Isn't it? The content, the app, everything's just the best. 1 year we'll get across there, boys. 1 year. We'll be
no
there.
Par 3 contest this year, though.
Okay. I'll just watch a previous year's event. It's not the end of the world, you know.
Not from a betting perspective, but I think it's always a nice little hors d'oeuvre the night before to whet the appetite.
It looks like such a fun par 3 course.
Oh, yeah.
Really looks like so
wouldn't that be
good.
A cracker to play?
Yeah.
All it means, I mean, good luck with your bets, gentlemen.
Yeah, you too.
Same to you guys and all the listeners as well. Very good.
Absolutely.
Luck with all your bets this week and fantasy and DraftKings. And
good luck. One final statement. What percentage ownership Jordan Spieth, DraftKings?
He has to be over 40.
35, but yeah, it's going to be chalk, as the saying goes.
But good chalk, Paul. Good chalk. Who can you pivot off? Jordan Spieth. Right. Thanks for listening. Good luck for your bets. We will be back next week. This is a regular show for you newbies that have never come across us. We'll be back for the RBC Heritage and the Austrian Open.
Yeah.
Am I right? Yeah, I'm right.
Yeah, Austrian
next Open. Week. Good luck with your bets. And leave us a 5-star review. That'd be absolutely fantastic. Thank you. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system.